It'll take about 30 minutes to give the Lord a little praise. Just kidding. Nathan told the congregation one evening when Brother Morris was here, he said, just have a little two-minute sermon, and sure enough, he just took 2 minutes, which that's hard to do. You have to be a minister to understand that, but I'm grateful today that we have a safe haven.
Amen.
In the midst of all the strife and turmoil that's going on. And we have a possession that we labored not for. That's what grace is. The denominations and all the churches around are working their way in. You don't get into the Holy of Holies through works. You get in there through invitation.
Amen.
And the little bride is the only one that he has said, come up hither. He said that to us, and we've heard that. Amen. And David said, you got not the land by your bow or your sword, but by his strength and his counsel and his countenance and his presence. Isn't that great?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I just want to take one more minute. I just want to say how much that I appreciate Brother Nathan. Me and Brother Jerry, we're not spring chickens anymore, as they say out in the country. But I've known Brother Nathan, since Sister Dottie was carrying him in the parking lot at the tabernacle, and not on her hip, I don't mean. So we've known him for a while, and I appreciate watching what God's done for him, and he's given this group of people here a leader. So you follow Brother Nathan every step of the way as he follows Christ.
Yes, amen.
Amen. That's the key right there.
Right.
I just wanted to say that I appreciate him, and I appreciate my dear wife that I don't deserve. But if we got what we deserved, Brother Lee, where would we be? And I'm so glad to see a whole row filled with my family.
Yes, amen.
And during a meal a couple days ago, Alice and I were at a table, and somehow all the little grandchildren ended up gravitating toward us. And this old guy felt like a king.
Amen.
I felt like a king, and I felt blessed and honored. The Bible says that your children will be like little olive plants around the table.
Amen.
Right, Brother Jimmy? But I could go on and on and on and on, but I won't do that. Praise the Lord. I will serve thee because I love thee. You have
was all I longed for. is mine. In the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. Heartaches and broken
all of our special singers this morning. Amen. I enjoyed that and appreciate them. Appreciate Brother Arnie and Sister Alice. Their stand for this message over the years. It's good to have friends like these people gathered here this morning. Amen. Let's sing this together. Brother Jimmy, you'd ask that we sing this. It's number 30 in your hymn book. Oh, I'm pressing on the upward way. Heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Oh Lord, lift me up and let me stand my faith on heaven. Plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, Lord, my prayer, my aim is high. Oh Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on high. Most high and catch a gleam of glory bright, but still I'll pray, oh, till heaven I found. My prayer, my aim, Lord, is higher ground. How you feel? Lord, lift me up, oh Lord, and let me stand by faith on heaven's table. A higher plane, oh, than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, I want to scale the utmost high and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I'll pray, Lord, till heaven I found. Oh, my prayer, my aim, it's higher ground. Lord, just lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Oh, Lord, lift me up. Just let me stand.
take on heaven's table and a higher place than I have found on high. Oh, there's a happy land of promise over in the great beyond, where the saved of earth shall soon the glory share. It's where the souls of men shall enter and live on forevermore. Oh, everybody will be happy over there. Oh, everybody will be happy, oh, will be happy over there. Oh, I know we're gonna shout, gonna sing our God's praises. Everybody will be happy over there. Oh, mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, we'll be singing round that throne in that land where no one ever knows a care. And the Christians of all ages will join in that triumph song. Oh, everybody will be happy over there. Oh, sing it, everybody will be happy, oh, will be happy over there. I know we're gonna shout, gonna sing our God's praises. Everybody will be happy. Oh, I want the musicians to praise you a little bit this morning. I like this part. Oh, we will hear nobody praying and no mourning in that land. For no burdens there will be for us to bear. And all the people will be singing glory, glory to the Lamb. Oh, everybody will be happy over there. Oh, sing it, everybody will be happy. Oh, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more heartache. I know we will shout, gonna sing our God's praises. Everybody will be happy over there. Oh, there we'll meet the one who saved us and who kept us by his grace and who brought us to that land so bright and fair. I'm gonna praise his name forever as we look upon his face. Oh, everybody will be happy over there. Oh, I know everybody. Oh, I know we'll be happy over there. I know we will shout, gonna sing God's praises. Everybody will be happy. Oh, Satan may have given you a bad week, but I know everybody will be happy. Oh, we'll be happy over there. Friends, we will shout, gonna sing our God's praises. Everybody will be happy over there. I know we'll hear nobody praying and no mourning in that land. For no burdens there will be for us to bear. And the people will be singing glory, glory to the Lamb. Oh, everybody will be happy over there. Oh, I know everybody will be happy, oh, will. Hallelujah. I know we will shout, gonna sing our God's praises. Everybody will be happy. Oh, one more time together. We're singing everybody. Oh, I know we'll be happy over there. Oh, we will shout, gonna sing God's praises. Everybody will be happy over there. Amen. God bless you. I don't know about you, but I feel pretty happy this morning. Amen. God's good to us, isn't he? Amen. Well, I don't have this up on the slides, but I'm going to ask you if you have your Bibles to turn with me to St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10. St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10.
And it's Thanksgiving weekend, and what a thankful people we are to serve a living God.
Amen.
What a privileged people that we are. Amen. St. Matthew chapter 10, and I want to start with verse 34. Many times we get this Joel Osteen idea of Jesus, but in Jesus' own words, he wasn't quite like a lot of these preachers think today, that just a doty old grandpa that pats everybody on the head and says it's okay. He says, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me. And he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth the prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth the righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward." Amen. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, what a privileged people we are to be able to call on your name this morning. And Lord, I just ask that you'd be in our midst. Ask that you would help me, Lord, as we begin to look into your word. And Lord, we love you this morning, and we appreciate this word. We thank you, Lord, for they asked you one time, "What is the works of God?" And you said, "To receive him whom I have sent." Lord, we're thankful that we've received, Lord, a prophet in this day that had a message. Lord, that we didn't just hear about it, but we had eyes to hear and ears to hear and eyes to see, rather than to receive, Lord, what was being said. Lord, help us this morning. May we look into the word. May we believe all the word, not just a portion that rubs us the right way or our pet doctrine, but Lord, may we believe all that has been said. Lord, may, as we look into the scriptures, may you stir up our faith this morning to believe in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you, and you can be seated this morning. I've got a couple of preliminaries I want to share with you this morning before we enter into the service. Don't know really where to start, but I can't promise you it's going to be a short service this morning, but I promise you I won't keep you too long, or try not to at least. And we've had some short services lately, so it's makeup time this morning. And good to see some of my young brothers on the front row here. We asked them to do it Wednesday night, and they did it of their own accord this morning. So we received a letter this week from Voice of God, and wanted to share that with you. As I had shared with you a few weeks ago, we just felt led to buy donuts for everybody there, all the employees, and just to do something to show our appreciation for the work that they do. And receive this. It's signed Brother Joseph. It says, "Dear believers in Christ, greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. My friends, I want to thank you for your love and appreciation for the work we are doing. The donuts that Brother Nathan and Sister Rebecca dropped by yesterday, although it was actually Brother Layton and Brother Jimmy that helped me, not my wife, but she got the credit. So, so let it be written, so let it be done." But Brother Jimmy and Brother Layton, they helped carry in the donuts, or they watched me carry in most of them, I think. But the donuts they dropped yesterday from you for the employees were devoured. The brothers here like their coffee, and they love donuts, so you made them all very happy. I want to take these few lines and tell you how much I appreciate your stand with Voice of God and the work we are doing for the Lord. This message is life to the bride of Christ, and our efforts to point the people to this word, which Brother Branham labored so hard to bring us. We are the recipients of his labor of love for the Lord and the commission that he was given by the angel of the Lord. No one person can do this work, but it takes all of us working together, whether it be financially, in prayer, or just giving us donuts and saying, God bless you. Thank you again for your very nice, and he puts in quotes, and sweet gesture on your part. And I really appreciate you thinking of Brother Billy, myself, and the staff of VGR. Please keep us all in your prayers as we endeavor to send the sermons of Brother Branham around the world to the bride of Jesus Christ. May the Lord richly bless you, your brother in Christ, Brother Joseph. So there was that. And then included with it is two sheets of signatures from the employees. Some of them just signed their names, and some of them said, thank you, God bless you. Different statements Brother Billy Paul set up at the top here. Thank you. Those were great. God bless you. Amen. So we appreciate that, and appreciate the work that they're doing to get this message around the world. Also, wanted to make a couple of other statements this morning. Last Sunday morning, in the service, for those of you that was here, there was a message that went forth in unknown tongues, and there was no interpretation that went with it, but we felt like the presence of the Lord was here and that the Lord was in that, and felt like it was just something encouraging to the church during the things that we had announced we were going through with the situation with the building, how that they've asked us to be out by January 15th because they're wanting to put a restaurant in down at the end here, and the restaurant wants a liquor license, and they can't have it within so many feet of a church. So in the meantime, the brothers and I have been looking into some buildings, and we've got some potential things we're going to look at, Lord willing, this week. So the Lord's working all that out, and we appreciate that. And but after the service, a brother had told me that he felt like he had the interpretation for the message in tongues Sunday morning, but that he hadn't interpreted in a long time, many, many years in church, and so he kind of hesitated just to make sure it was the Lord, and then it kind of just left him. So Sunday evening, I was just really praying that, Lord, I believe that was you with all my heart, and Lord, may you just let that come forth again. And so in the Sunday evening service, tongues interpretation went forth again, and I don't believe I have all the text of it here in front of me, but it's on the website if you want to go and read the text. It was just a word of encouragement to us during this time, how that God, his hand isn't too short for us to do what we have need of, and that'll bring us through with a mighty hand. And we appreciate encouragement from the Lord. Amen. I know there's some that don't believe in it that way, but there's 9 spiritual gifts in the Bible, and you can't separate those 9 spiritual gifts. So if you don't believe in tongues and interpretation and prophecy, then you better lay aside healing and knowledge and wisdom too, because they're part of it. Also, last Sunday I made some statements. They weren't premeditated statements. I didn't have them in my notes or hadn't thought about saying them in the beginning of service, but just as I was preaching, Lord laid it on my heart to say some things about tithes and offerings and to share some testimonies. And after service, a brother had come up to me and said, Brother Nathan, he said, if I didn't think it was out of order, I would have stood up and shared my testimony. He said they'd gotten to a very bad financial situation a while back and didn't really have the extra money to pay the tithes. But they went ahead and paid him anyhow, and he walked outside in the parking lot, and somebody walked up to him and said, Brother, I just felt led to do this, and handed him an envelope, put it in his shirt, and when he checked it later, there was $200 in his pocket. So God provided. And then another family that was struggling a couple Christmases ago didn't really have the extra money to do all that they needed and have food and gifts and things like that, went ahead and paid their tithes, and they were sharing with me a little later that day how that people had brought them Christmas meals and different things, just began to drop it off on their doorstep. The people didn't know so much really what they were going through, but just felt led of the Lord to do those things. And then Wednesday evening, a brother came up to me and said, Brother Nathan, I want to share my testimony about tithes as well. He said, I had been behind on tithes for a while, and he said, I've been doing everything I can to get caught up for the last few months. And he said, I just got caught up this week on Sunday, and I believe I'll have to have the brother correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe he caught up on Sunday, and he said on Monday, if I understand right, my boss and his boss called me into his office and said, we need to talk to you. And he said, when I went in, they said his boss is moving. I don't know if it's just to a different position in the company or out of town, but they said that they're going to promote him to his boss's position, and it'll be a 20% increase in his wages. So I told him, I said, well, that's a pretty good deal. You gave God 10% and he gave you 20%. You can't outgive God. Amen. Brother Layton had laid here the text of the interpretation of the tongue Sunday night. It said, I will say unto thee, my little ones, I say, yield unto me, yield unto my spirit, my little ones. I say, be not dismayed, I say I will lead thee and I will guide thee. I will bring thee forth in a mighty way. My hand is not too short, I say unto thee, but lead and guide thee by my hand, saith the Lord. Amen. So we certainly appreciate the Lord being mindful of us and knowing some of the things that we're facing and just giving us a word of encouragement. Amen. We have a lot to be thankful for this Thanksgiving. God bless you. Well, I'm going to look at a topic this morning that's not a very popular topic. It's a very simple topic, so you wouldn't think it would be so controversial, but sadly in this area it's one of the most controversial topics you'll probably get into, and we're going to just title it this morning, Why I Believe in Preachers. And there's been some statements made to a lot of our people lately. If it had been just to one or two families, I would have probably just shared some things with them individually. But since it seems like it's just a predominant spirit in this area, I figured I might share some things with you just so that you understand why we believe this. And so when you get approached with questions, you would have some ground to stand on. This isn't against any individuals or any church or any person or anything like that. This is just about a spirit that's in this area that's been here since Brother Layton has been in the message. I know he's faced it, and different brothers that are very much my senior, Brother Arnie and different ones have faced that, basically just a hatred against any type of minister. And I don't find that in the Bible. I don't find it in the message, but you certainly find it around the message. And so we're going to just look at this with the help of the Lord this morning. You pray for me. I want to bring it in the right spirit and the right attitude and just share with you some things that I've been looking into lately in the scriptures and in the message about this. And we want to start with St. Mark chapter 3, verse 14. And I'm just going to take my time this morning. Brother Jimmy said one of the things he appreciates about my ministry is that I really clinch the nail in. So we're going to try to clinch the nail in this morning, Brother Jimmy. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach, and to have power to heal sickness, and to cast out devils. Luke chapter 9, verse 6. And they departed and went through the towns preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Now, this was an age when Jesus Christ himself, not a prophet, not a messenger, not an angel, but Jesus Christ himself was walking in a flesh body on earth. And he was there with the ministry. And John the Baptist had foreran his ministry. But now here, God in the flesh is walking on the earth. Not God in part, like he is in me, or Brother Layton, or you, or Brother Branham, or any of these other brothers, minister brothers. We have God in part because we have the Holy Ghost. But Jesus, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, is walking on the earth with the ministry, speaking to people, going into the synagogues, going into the cities, going to individuals, and yet he sends out 12 to preach. And then he sends out 70 to preach. So, as a, you know, if anybody had a right to say, well, we have something perfect and everybody should just sit down and shut up, it would have been Jesus Christ himself, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Why would we need anybody else? That's what they say today. Why would we need anything else when we have the tapes? Why would we need anything else when we have the message? And let me just clarify very specifically this morning to you, this is not an attack against the tapes. I believe in the tapes, or I wouldn't play them here. Amen. I wouldn't play them in my church if I didn't believe in playing tapes in church. I think it's needful. I think it's necessary. I believe that the tapes are, if you want to, my personal opinion, I'll just share this with you. My personal opinion is that the tapes are just as much of the part of the fivefold ministry as me or any evangelist or any missionary. But I don't believe that it does away with the fivefold ministry and says, we have these now, so everybody else sit down and shut up. Like a lot of them say. And I say to that, here is the message, and here is the Bible, and come and show me plainly in the scripture and the message out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, and I'll be the first to sit down and shut up. But nobody has ever brought me a quarter of scripture. Amen. Ever. But yet they want to beat our people over the head and say, well, we believe it this way, or brother so-and-so said, or sister so-and-so said. I don't care so much about that. I want to be what's in the Word. What's in the Word. And if you don't have scripture or quotes, then I don't have time. And that's not just on this subject. That's on any of these doctrines that get started around the message. If you can't bring it and show it to me plainly, not, well, we're going to clip these sentences with these sentences and make it say this. Brother Branham said you can make it look and say, Judas went and hung himself, go to ye likewise, patching together things. But no, not some big mysterious thing, but come and show me plainly in the scripture and the message, and then I can say amen, and then we can be on the same page and have fellowship. But this is my absolute, the message in the Bible. And we have to have an absolute. And if you don't have an absolute, or if you don't know what your absolute is, then people will toss you back and forth. And Paul said, be not tossed about with every wind of doctrine. And many people, depending on what group they get around or what friend they hang out with or what ministry they're associated around with, they'll get pulled off on this side. And, well, this is how we feel. And then they'll get around this influence. Oh, well, maybe it's this way over here. You better have an absolute and know where you're standing. At that word, 1953, we're going to read some statements from Brother Branham this morning. I hope that's okay, but we're going to read them whether it's okay or not. He said, anything I like to hear is good preaching. Hear a man preaching. Again, washing Jesus' feet, 1957, he said, and how I love to hear good preaching. I don't get the privilege of doing it very much, but I love to hear a good preacher who knows the word. Now, Brother Branham was there. They had the tapes. They were sending them out to people. He had every right to say, he didn't have to make this statement, but yet he made it anyhow. Now, I want to look at three different quotes from this sermon, Questions and Answers number 3 in 1964. I think it's so interesting that all three of these questions were asked him in the same sermon. This is question number 333. They ask him, Brother Branham, do you teach that the bride must not attend any church unless you are there preaching, or else the tabernacle, or other words, the tabernacle, see, got else, he said, but means other words. He says, no, you're mistaken, see. Let me go over and just answer it as I come by. Do you teach that the bride must not attend any other church unless you're preaching, or else otherwise the tabernacle? No, I don't teach that. I don't believe that. I do not believe it. Now, here he has an opportunity. This is a question that is asked. This is a prophet of God standing before his people, not at Shreveport, not in Arizona, not in Chicago. He's standing at the tabernacle, and he has their attention. And if this is how he feels, he has every right at this moment to say it, just to clarify. Look, I wouldn't say this out in Shreveport or out in Chicago, but this is my home group, and I'm comfortable here, and here, this is really how I feel. Why didn't he say it? Because he didn't believe it. Because he didn't believe it. And you know, I know this is hard sometimes, and I'm not doing it to attack anybody or to say anything about anybody or any of the people that have approached you all personally. This isn't against them. This isn't an attack on them. But this is a spirit that's predominant in this area. As a young man in the message, between my early or my late teens and early 20s, I ran from this ministry as hard as I could. I backslid because I knew the further away from God I got, the quieter that this call got. And I didn't blame my parents. I didn't blame my upbringing. I didn't blame my pastor. I didn't blame the message. But I can say I do blame this spirit around the message that is so anti-ministry, because it wasn't so much my love for the devil that made me run. It was my fear of knowing what came with being a minister in this area that made me run. And I found out the further I got away from God, Brother Joshua, the quieter that call got. And I thought, all right, this is how we'll take care of this. But God had other plans. And, you know, I know maybe it makes you uncomfortable for me to talk about these things, but I'm just the type of person that's not going to bury my head in the sand and say, well, you know, we'll just let this blow over, because I don't believe it's going to blow over. I believe it'll get continually worse. And I believe that it's just going to cause division and separation and drawing lines in the sand when people come and tell our people, well, this is why you shouldn't go to a church where there are preachers and things like that. It's not us that's drawing the lines in the sand. But if lines in the sand are going to be drawn, we need to know where we stand and why we believe what we believe, or we'll be all tossed back and forth every other direction. So I'm showing you this morning by the quotes and by the scriptures, not to elevate Brother Nathan and his ministry, but just to show you why we believe in any type of ministry, whether it's a missionary, an evangelist, a pastor, a prophet, whatever it would be, a teacher. Amen. I'm showing you the quotes in the scriptures, and they'll come to you, and they don't have quotes in scriptures, but yet they'll attack you, and they'll tell you all kinds of things and all kinds of statements and all kinds of ideas. But I would ask them, if I were you, can you show me where Brother Branham said that?
Can you show me where that's in the Bible? And if they don't have an answer for you, I would say, God bless you, you have a good day, and just walk on. Because if they won't talk to you about it with the quotes and the scriptures, then they have a different absolute than you, just like an atheist or anybody else, not calling them an atheist, but an atheist has a different absolute than I do. So I can't argue with him about God, because no matter how much I can show him God in the Bible and God in the message, he doesn't believe the Bible or the message to begin with, so we don't have the same absolute, and we can never come to an agreement. He says in the same quote, we've got ministers sitting here that scattered all around through the country, and I believe they are part of that bride. I believe that a man or woman can go to church anywhere they want to go that teaches the word. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Now, there's many out here, even around the message, that any type of preaching is absolutely foolishness to them. They will make fun of you. They'll say that we don't need no regurgitated food and all these different cliches that they have to say to you. But that's okay. Paul already warned us about those type of people. He said it's foolishness to them. But there's another group of people that, not that they're against the tapes, by no means. I love the tapes. Hey man, I would get in an argument with anybody here that says they love them more than me, because I love the tapes. They're life to me. I hang on every quote and every scripture as my foundation for what I believe and for what my eternal destination will be. This isn't about not loving the Word. This is about doing what the Word said. Amen. Amen. Because these things are in the Word. And to do away with that is just the same as to do away with marriage and divorce or serpent seed or Godhead or whatever other doctrine you would say, well, I'll just do away with that because I don't believe it or because it's not popular. No, we want to take all the word. And there is a people that not just because I'm the pastor, but through guest ministers, through Brother Layton, through different ones that have been through, if you've sat here long enough and there's anything to you that's spiritual, you've recognized that God can still speak through men. That doesn't make us a prophet. That doesn't do away with the messenger and say that, well, we're going to take it on beyond the messenger. That's a bunch of baloney. No, but what that does is shows that God is still alive, and he's still Hebrews 13 and 8, and that if you have a need and you have something, a question that's burning in your heart or encouragement that you need, that God can allow me or Brother Layton or some guest minister to step behind this desk, and maybe we have no idea why we're saying what we're saying, and maybe even after the service beat ourselves up about it. Why did I get on that? So and so will think I said it because of them, and this one will think I said it because of that. Why did I say, you in our home this morning? Were you in our car on the way to church? No, I wasn't, but I know somebody that was. And God can take a gift, not because it's my gift. God can take any of these ministers' gifts. Brother Arnie, different ones. He can take a gift and he can place it into a man. Where till Brother Bram said his gift was to get himself out of the way. And if we can get ourselves out of the way, I'm not talking about being a vindicated prophet or something like that. I'm talking about a gift of ministry as a teacher or an evangelist or a pastor, to where if we can get ourselves out of the way, the notes don't matter so much anymore. But I've seen God use men. When Brother Ron Spencer was here, he walked right down the row of many of your pews, or we don't have pews, but your chairs. He walked right down the row, and I don't call these guest ministers and tell them, now, there's a sister that's struggling with this, and there's a brother that's struggling with it. Maybe if you could just hit a little bit, we've been having a little bit of problem with this, if you could just hit that. You know what I would do if I was an evangelist and a pastor called me? I'd say, no, I don't think it's going to work for me to come, and if I do come, I don't feel like I can preach on those things now. So as pastors, we don't do that. We don't call ahead and tell everything, but we've seen God walk right down through these aisles and say things. That's not discernment in the way of a prophet, but it is discernment in the way that the word is sharper and more powerful than a two-edged sword, discerning asunder the thoughts and the intents that's within the heart. God still works that way. And it's foolishness to some people, but to us it's the power of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching, to save them that believe. Now they ask him again, the same sermon, questions and answers. Question number 39, 1964. Now, Brother Branham, is it true that no one should preach but you? Now, this is a pretty simple, straightforward question. There's no hem-hawing around or, well, maybe he could have misunderstood what they said. It's a pretty straightforward question. Brother Branham, is it true that no one should preach but you? We've seen you ordain men. We don't believe you would do that if they were not to preach. Brother Branham, you're out here in 1962 preaching a sermon that we have in book form called Ordination. And basically what you do, the whole sermon, is you go through and you ordain ministers. We don't believe that you would do that, they said, if you didn't mean for them to preach. Mercy, brother, sister, ever, who told you that nobody's to preach but me? Oh, my. Quiet in here already. He says, mercy, brother, sister. Ever who told you that nobody's to preach but me? Well, let me say it to you this morning. Mercy, brother, sister. Whoever told you that nobody's supposed to preach but him, maybe you should show him some of these quotes. And I'll just put the notes up. I know it's not popular and, you know, maybe we'll hear back from it or whatever. That's okay. I'll put the notes, all the quotes in the scriptures and the sermon and all that up on the website. And if you have somebody approach you, you can go and show them. Here's these sermon notes and quotes and scriptures. What do you do with this? And do you have any quotes or scriptures that where Brother Branham said in, you know, 1966, I don't have any quotes in 1966, but he sure didn't say it between 47 and 65. So maybe they have a quote from somewhere else where he said, all you preachers, sit down and shut up. As I had a man tell me the morning here that I got a nosebleed, and Brother Layton came up and prayed for me. I couldn't get the nose to stop bleeding. And he came up and read Ezekiel 16:6, and he prayed, and it stopped instantly. And a man went back and heard the sermon later online, and he said, see, God wanted you to take the cotton balls out of your nose and put them in your mouth and shut up and sit down and play the tapes. And I said, well, it's amazing if that's really what he wanted me to do, that he would heal me instantly and let me continue preaching. Fools will walk with hobnailed shoes where angels fear to trod. I would be scared to make some of the statements some of these people have been making against any of my brothers, whether they agree with me or not. Hey, there's plenty of tape-only people that I disagree with, but I don't go and call them names and run them down and kick them to the curb and say that they're lost and all these things. No, I believe my God's a little bigger than that. I don't agree, you know, with this mentality of, well, all we need is the tapes, because I've seen too much in the Word and I've seen God use it. But if somebody wants to believe that, that's their prerogative. They can believe whatever they want. I am not, somebody that can go and tell, well, hey, this is how we believe it at our church. So you, everybody else has to come under that authority, or you're just out and you're just lost. I don't have that authority. Mercy, brother, sister, ever who told you that nobody's to preach but me? I'd sure be a poor subject to God with all that. No, every man or that feels a call of God upon his life, get into the ministry and start preaching. We need them. Now, this is 1964 after the seals. He's been asked this question very plainly, and he says, get into the ministry and start preaching. We need them. Men of God are anointed all over the world to preach the gospel. Why don't we hear this more? Because they don't believe it. And they would get in a fist fight over you to tell them that they don't believe what Brother Branham said, but they don't believe it. Their actions and their words and everything else speak louder than anything they could argue with you to say, oh, we believe every word that he said. Oh, you do. Well, what about all these this morning? Do you believe those? Now, they asked him, this is the quote that they used to support this line of thinking, and they asked him this very same question in this very same sermon where he said all these other things, but they asked him again, question number 352, Brother Branham, and notice how they phrase it, we have no preacher where we live, but we have tape service on Sunday night only. Should we take our children to another church for Sunday school? Are the tape services sufficient? Now here he's already told them, no, it's not true that everybody has to go where I'm preaching. And no, it's not true that everybody has to go to the tabernacle. And no, it's not true that nobody should preach but me. And now they come around asking, but we have no preacher where we live. Are the tape services sufficient? Now, there are people in this condition. There are people in North Dakota and different places that they have no message church. They have nothing. And they're asking him, we have no preacher where we live. Is the tape services sufficient? Or should we go over to another church that maybe doesn't believe the message, whatever it be? He said, well, let that be according to the way your children are going. But now if you've got a nice little church over there that maybe disagree two or three things with you, and your children wants to go to Sunday school, they're full gospel people or something, why, that's perfectly all right. He's not talking about a message church now. He's talking about a good apostolic or UPC or some type of church where you disagree with a couple of things. He said, you go on over there. And then he goes on, he says, further, now they begin to, he said, like, for instance, if it was a Catholic church or something like that, and they begin to push that stuff down your children's throat, he said, I would watch that and get away from it. But he said, you just see how your children are going. So he didn't say that the tape services weren't sufficient. But he didn't just say, no, if there's not a qualified message, brother, that you believe every single statement that he says just the way, then you better just stay away from that. No, he said, you go if there's a few things you disagree with, but see how your children are doing it. How are they taking to it? Are they being influenced by it? Mark chapter 16, verse 15, the great commission from our Lord Jesus. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, Brother Bram said that was more than just sending tracts. He said it in the Philadelphian church age. We just heard it here recently. He said it was also more than just going and some minister teaching the word to get up and say, well, we believe this and we believe that, and this is the creed of the church and this is the doctrine. He said to preach means to demonstrate the gospel. Amen. So we, you know, if you get up and all it is just a bunch of talk, and you don't have the works and the signs and wonders following it, then that's not going to do anybody very, very good. But when a man comes, whether it's an evangelist or whatever it would be, and he preaches the word, and after the preaching of the word we feel is solid, and amen, we can say amen to what he said. He's got the quotes and scriptures to back it up, and we rejoice. And then the Lord drops in the service and begins to move with signs and wonders, tongues and interpretation, healings, raising of the dead, whatever it would be. And we see that God is with us. Then it's more than just teaching the word. It's more than just passing a tract. It's preaching the gospel, the word made manifest. Not just through the pastor, not just through the deacon or through the evangelist, but Brother Branham said, every one of you has a right to lay hands on the sick. He said, every one of you has a right to baptize. Amen. A lot of times you think it's just up here on the platform, but it's a whole lot more than that. Invasion of the United States, 1954. I think today what we need is more old-fashioned God-called ministers. Now, here's what I want you to do. The next time somebody comes up and says, bless God, we don't believe in preachers, and you don't need to be able to know preacher church, and all we need is the tapes, I want you to just stop and say, well, I think today what we need is more old-fashioned God-called ministers. And then you let them blast you for about 5 minutes and call you a serpent seed and deceived and everything you can think, and say, I was just quoting Brother Branham from Invasion of the United States in 1954. So you'll have to take that up with him.
Amen.
Faith, 1956. You could use this one. What we need is some preachers that'll get out and preach the truth of the thing. These aren't popular statements, but I'm just reading what he said. The resurrection of Lazarus, 1951. Brother, what we need today is preachers back behind the pulpit that preach. Good Lord, you mean he said that, Brother Layton? Back behind the pulpit that preach the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ with Holy Ghost and fire baptism coming down upon the people. Now, either he meant it or he didn't. Either he's just bold-faced lying to us out of one side of his mouth and he really intended something else, or he was a prophet of God and he meant what he said. Either we believe what he said or we don't believe what he said. Amen. They say, oh, don't tell me what he meant. Just tell me what he said. But you start telling him what he said about some of these things, and they won't like that very much either. Be Not Afraid, 1961, March 11th. What we need is men that'll preach the gospel and handle it with the powers of God. Tell the truth, regardless if the organization kicks him out. What difference does it make? Yes, sir, we need man of God, anointed with the Holy Ghost, that'll preach the gospel, regardless of what the organization or denomination says about it. Makes no difference anyhow. It's God we're for. Amen. Amen. Now, let me just tell you, I don't want to see anybody leave the church. I'll be honest with you. I enjoy coming here and seeing every one of you. There's not a person here this morning that I think, oh, good Lord, I just wish they would go somewhere else. I can say that in all honesty. Not just being nice. I really truly feel that every person, even when I'm singing here and you get here late and I see you coming in the back door, it makes me so happy. Oh, they made it this service. They're going to be here and they're just going to pull on the gift of God a little bit more. And there's another amen. And that's another voice singing in the service and another hand raised worshiping God. I love to see every one of you here. But if you're going to stay here and survive, you better get some tough skin. Because we're living in a dark age. And it's not so much because of leadership, but it's because of the spirit of the people that are so against any type of ministry that if you don't have tough skin, you probably won't last very long. And I'd hate to see you go, but I'm not going to sit down and stop preaching because I would be untrue to what God called me to do if I did that. Amen. And I would rather meet God at the judgment, Brother Jimmy, as an absolute failure, as Brother Branham said, than I would to meet him as a quitter. I would rather meet God with all of my mistakes and my flaws and falling on my face and get to the end and say, Lord, I messed up so many times, I'm sure it's even hard for you to count. I know I can't count them. But I was faithful to what I was called to do, and I didn't sell my birthright. I would rather meet God on those conditions. Amen. Because I see this in the Word, and to deny this would be to deny what God has called me to do. Now, you may not understand that because God may not have called you to do that, but if God called you to do something, if God called you to be a housewife, can you imagine somebody coming and telling you, we don't need housewives no more? No, 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 no. No, we don't need housewives. We have the tapes now, and so we're just going to leave the children at home locked in a little cage and play tapes, and you go out and get you a job. Don't cook your husbands any meals. Because we have the tapes now. We don't need housewives. You say, but God called me to be a housewife. Oh, but, you know, but Brother so-and-so said, and but my family has taught me all these years, and but do you have a quota of Scripture? Oh, no, we don't have no quota of Scripture, but you better do it, or you're lost, and you're deceived, and you're a serpent seed, and we'll disfellowship you, and we'll isolate you, and we'll persecute you, and we'll talk to you bad about you. But, oh, well, I guess I just won't be a housewife. I guess that's all there is to it. Doesn't that sound ridiculous? Now you know how I feel. Be Certain of God, 1959. I believe that we need preachers that's men, that's God-fearing, God's servants, who's not afraid to call black black and white white. The gospel's been handled too much now with kid gloves on. We need some old-fashioned preaching like Billy Sunday and John the Baptist. Some of them old-fashioned hellfire and brimstone messages again back to the people. I know it's not popular, he said. And the church said, amen. I know it's not popular, so when they got away from that, you see what condition it's got the nation in, so it takes that, brother. He said it takes that. He said you see the condition the nation's got in when they get away from that, but people don't want that. They don't want hellfire and brimstone. They don't want somebody preaching where they're living at. They don't want somebody preaching on their television shows and the way they dress and the way they act and the way they talk and how they have to, you know, be subject to their husband and all the, they don't want to hear that. But yet they listen to the very tapes that I'm getting all that from. But they can just sit there and kind of, you know, go to sleep and let it go in one ear and out the other. And yeah, I love Lucy and Elvis, and that doesn't bother them too much. But when somebody's there and they're bringing it down home to where you live in 2015, they don't like that very much. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. This is the Apostle Paul, the messenger for the age. He had a God-sent message, the most important message of the day. And he's speaking to a young minister. And he tells this young minister, he said, let no man despise thy youth. Oh, I love that scripture, Brother Lee. That has encouraged me so many times. When men, much my senior, you know, disagree with me or things like that, it's okay. Let no man despise thy youth, Timothy. And so Paul begins to speak to this man, and he could have said, now, Timothy, I know
I know you feel you've got around these other preachers and you feel influenced and you know you've got in that atmosphere, but I'm the messenger of the age and I've sent you my letters, and I want you to stop and just every service get up and read my letters before the people. Paul had that right. But he says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Brother Branham says it this way, believest thou this, 1951, he said, don't hear very many amens tonight, but that's the truth, amen, right. Come back to the hewing line, hallelujah. If you want God to return to you with blessings and things, get back in the harness again, preach the gospel, stand on it. It's either right or it's wrong. It's either right or wrong. If it ain't, forget about it. God's word says it's right, then stay with it. Amen. Again, Voice of the Sign, 1964. Now, as long as there's apostles, there's got to be a prophet. As long as there's a prophet, there's got to be an evangelist. Why is it ministers say there's a pastor and evangelist, but no prophet? See, that's picking what you want to, making it say something that it doesn't. So in his day, they hadn't had a prophet in years. And so he comes along and they say, oh, well, we need an evangelist and a pastor, but we don't need a prophet. And that was the attitude of the day. He said, that's picking what you want. Now, today, they have it reversed. We need a prophet, but we don't need an evangelist or a teacher or a pastor. He said, that's picking what you want to, making it say something it doesn't say. Hebrews chapter 5 and 6, part 1. Oh, I know there's many rise up and go out and say, oh, I don't need to go to church anymore. Good Lord. You'd think he was living in 2015. This message is, Brother Collins says many times, this message is as up to date as the morning newspaper. And even more up to date, because there's all kinds of lies in that. Oh, I know there's many rise up and go out and say, oh, I don't need to go to church anymore. Praise God. The Holy Ghost has come. He's the teacher. This is Brother Branham's words, very plain, very simple, Kentucky English. When you get that idea, you're just wrong. For why did the Holy Ghost set teachers in the church if he was going to be the teacher? See, there's first apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, and pastors. The Holy Spirit set teachers in the church so he could teach through that teacher. Now, this is incorrect, and he came around at some point later in his life, and you have a quote or a scripture, and not just these here in the congregation, somebody listening online or wherever you get a hold of this, and you have a quote after this where Brother Branham said, I was wrong about all those quotes that Brother Nathan read. I take back all that, and I all we need is just this, and we don't need any ministry, and we don't need anybody else. You bring that to me and show it to me, and I guess we'll just have to close up church. But it's not there. Because if it was there, that's not saying that I'm intelligent and I know all the message and all the scriptures, but trust me, if it was there, people would have showed us by now. People would have dug and dug and dug till they had those quotes in scriptures, and they would be waving them in your face right outside these doors. Look what we found. Well, look what I found. And there's about 20 more pages that I didn't have time to get to this morning that we won't get into. All the times he says, oh, Brother Neville, my pastor, how I love to hear him preach. Oh, I went home and was talking to Dolores this day as we were washing dishes over at her house. And I told my sister Dolores, that message from Brother Neville was the best sermon I've ever preached and how it stirred my heart. Oh, he told the church one night, he said, that service this morning from Brother Neville, he said, that's one of the best sermons I've ever heard. And he said, it stirred me. Oh my, and he said, I got 20 sermons out of it. Brother Vail, we listened to the other night, Humble Thyself. Brother Branham's just talking kind of around Brother Vail's sermon, and Brother Vail gets done. Brother Branham said, there was so much said. He said, I don't even know how I could add anything to it. He said, I got 20 sermons sitting back there, wrote down notes for 20 sermons. I wonder how many of those sermons we've enjoyed that if Brother Vail hadn't preached that night, we wouldn't have had, because he wouldn't have been maybe inspired to preach it. You say, how ridiculous that you would say that. I didn't say it. He said it. Never did he say, hey, bless God, I'm in service tonight. Everybody else, sit down and shut up. Usually he was the one saying, Brother Neville, you sure you don't have something tonight? Brother so-and-so, are you sure? Are you sure? He was humble.
And if I would have been there and he would have been standing in the service, I would have probably wanted to say, Brother Branham, you go right ahead and take the service. But if he told me, no, Brother Nathan, I feel like God is calling you to speak the service tonight, I sure wouldn't say, no, I'm not going to do it, Brother Branham. If you're here, I'm just going to sit down. No, if God was leading me and God was leading him, people wouldn't have liked it, and people would have probably said, bless God, we drove all the way from Georgia and Florida and we got to hear Nathan Bryant preach. So mad that, oh, you could just see smoke coming out of their ears. All this way, and he lets Brother Neville preach. He had Brother Vail preach. I drove all this way. But if God led Brother Branham to do it, who are you to say? You know there'd be people like that. There's still people like that today. I'm just simple, I guess. I read this, and I don't have to figure out all kinds of loopholes to make it say something that I believe. I just believe what he said. He didn't make it mysterious to where we couldn't understand it. My five-year-old boy back there, my six-year-old boy, rather, and my eight-year-old boy, they can understand this message for the basics of it. It's not something that you have to be a rocket scientist to do. That's the problem that a lot of the ministry has brought a bad name around the message, is that they've tried to explain it so away to where if you don't have a 10-year college degree and an education way out here, that you can't even understand what they're trying to put together for you. And a man with a seventh grade education gets up and says, good evening, friends. My hits and haints and totes and catch and carries and all that, you know, he was just so simple that the common people heard him gladly. There was another man like that one time. The Lord Jesus, the common people heard him gladly because he didn't make it some big mysterious thing that nobody can understand. Can I read a few more quotes before we close? Questions and Answers, 1954. You must... I'm sorry, where are we at here? I skipped. All right. Yep. Say, I don't have to have anybody teach me. The Holy Ghost teaches me. It does through a teacher. He said it, teachers in the church. He said, are all teachers, are all apostles, are all gifts of healing? The Holy Ghost set these in the church. He operates them all, and each one of them operates orderly. Again, 1954, questions and answers. You must come under teaching. You say, I don't need no one to teach me after the Holy Ghost has come. My friends, that gives me just a little room to doubt whether you've really got it or not then. Now, here's another one you could use, although I don't recommend it, to where somebody comes and says, bless God, we don't need any preachers anymore. You could say, well, that just gives me a little room to doubt whether you've really got it or not. That wouldn't be very popular. But you could just say, you can just type that in, questions and answers, 1954. It'll come up there. See, the way you're acting with it, see the thing you're doing. Now, why, if the Bible says the Holy Spirit is the teacher, why did the Holy Spirit put teachers in the church then to set the church in order? The same Holy Spirit, sure, we don't need any seminaries to go around, a big bunch of men to look out these things. The Holy Spirit is the teacher. See, it's a teacher, and it gives some fellow a gift of teaching, then you must be subject to that gift. Again, adoption number 3, 1960. How can I expect anything? How can a man that loves God, and a preacher especially, expect to do anything but be hated by men? Men will hate you. I've seen this scripture fulfilled many times with this quote. There are people out here that literally, absolutely hate brothers like Brother Layton, and I would love to see us trip and fall and backslide or leave the message just so that they could run and tell everybody, see, I told you so. Now let me ask you, what type of spirit do you think that is? Is that, you know, we've talked about being influenced from above or being influenced from below. What type of spirit that is? Can you imagine if I was to say, oh, Brother Jeremiah, oh my, if he ever backslids, I can't wait to just run around and tell everybody, see, I told you so. I told you sister so-and-so over here. I told you she was this and she was that. See, I told you. What type of spirit would that be? But that's how they feel about a lot of the ministry. Oh, yeah, they see them make a mistake. They see somebody fall. Oh, my. They bring out the banners, and they bring out the trumpets, and oh, my, bless God. See, that's just how those old preachers are. Yeah, that's right. There's a few of them that are like that. And there's a few of them that are genuine God-called men that would stick out their neck on a chopping block and give their life for this message. I just happen to be one of them. Amen. Somebody walk in here with a 45 and say, Brother Nathan,
you reject this message and call William Branham a false prophet, or I'll pull the trigger, I'd say, well, I know what I'm going to be doing in a few minutes. I'm going to be shaking his hand saying, I wouldn't do it. And it sure is good to see you. I'm glad I didn't. A lot of these terrorists and things, they click that button and suddenly they're transferred into the regions of the lost. I wonder what they think when they realize everything Muhammad told them was a lie. I wonder what they think about it. Oh, my. How can I expect anything? How can a man that loves God and a preacher especially expect anything but to be hated by men? Men will hate you. Now, it doesn't matter. You that have family, or you that have friends, or you that have, just people that are pestering you, whatever it is, you can take and show them every one of these quotes as plain as you want. You can take them and show them every scripture that you can find. You can study more than I have and just get them a 100-page essay typed up and say, this is what Brother Branham says about preachers. This is what he says about the ministry. And you lay that on the scale, and that scale go down 100 pages. And you say, can you bring me one page of quotes and scriptures that says all this is wrong and is for another age and to be done away with? And they don't have anything to sit there to tip that scale. And they'll still say, well, that's just what we believe. How can you argue with that? You can't debate that spirit. You can't argue with that spirit. You can't win an argument with somebody that when you stand and show them plainly by the word and the scriptures and the quotes, here it is. Show me if I'm wrong, if I'm deceived, if I'm an imposter, show me something different. Show me if I'm wrong, I want to be right. I want to be right. Show me in the word. Well, that's just what we believe. Okay. Well, I'll just believe all of this that he said, and you go on with what you believe. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. He says this again, adoption number 4. Young preacher, I take this one a little personally. I just write my name in here. Young preacher, get into the field. Stay into the harness. All you young preachers and things, don't you sit around. Don't you just sit around and do nothing. Get out yonder and win a soul. Do something. Get on. Get moving. Don't stop, young preacher over there. God bless your heart. Now, if you want to find where this is at in the message, it's in adoption number 4. We're actually getting ready to listen to that tape pretty soon. We've been listening to the adoption series. And Brother Branham is talking about what he wants to see. And he said at the very end of the sermon there, he says, I want to see, he's talking about Brother Joseph. He said, I want to see Joseph in the pulpit. I want to see where I can hand him my Bible and say, go with it, son. He said, I want to see Becky on the piano, playing the piano in church. I want to see Sarah on the organ, playing the organ in church. Now, we've heard those quotes many, many times, and I can say, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I believe that just as much as the rest of it. We see some of it being fulfilled. Adoption number 4. And the very next paragraph, we never hear this quote. Young preacher, get into the field, stay in the harness. All you young preachers and things, don't you sit around. Don't you just sit around and do nothing. Get out yonder and win a soul. Do something. Get on. Get moving. Don't stop, young preacher over there. God bless your heart. That's not to throw off anything on those other quotes. I believe those. But if you want to read me your quotes, because they're my quotes too, I believe that too. Let me share a few of mine with you. Let me read the next paragraph. I've heard many ministers get up and preach something doctrinal, and they say, bless God, Brother Branham said this, this, and this, and they stop and won't read the next sentence. And I think, you... If you would just read the next sentence. What hearest thou, Elijah, 1959? If God called you to preach, preach if you stand alone. Preach anyhow. God spoke to you, stand out there and preach. It's your God-given right. I'd rather listen to a man like that than have all the ones that had the DDs and PhDs behind him. Hey, amen. This is how I feel about it this evening. Or this morning, rather. If I have to preach and I have to stand alone, I'll preach anyhow because God called me to do it. And it's my God-given right. Now, if I have to preach to my wife and my children again, like we started out with, you'll still find me somewhere listening. Amen. It may not be popular. And maybe I'm preaching hard this morning. Maybe you don't understand. Maybe you disagree. But I have to stand for my God-given rights. Amen. That's not just about preaching. That's about whatever God-given right that we've had. I don't care if it's Obama. I don't care if it's the Pope. I don't care if it's another message church or if it's a message person that's, you know, got to the table and they think they can search a bunch of quotes and prove every preacher wrong when they don't have a gift to begin with. Some little lady that thinks she's a woman preacher at home typing in and putting quotes together and then going to come and try to prove some preachers wrong. I don't care who it is.
I'm going to stand for my God-given rights. I'm going to preach against homosexuality. I'm going to preach against sin. I'm going to preach about all these things that we've been taught about. I'm going to preach on predestination and marriage and divorce and every doctrine that Brother Branham taught us. I don't care if Obama says I can't, or your mama, or anybody else. I'm going to stand on my God-given rights. That might get me shot. It might get me thrown in jail. I know it'll get me criticized. People may leave the church over it. But we have God-given rights, and I'm going to stand for them. As I said before, I used to be proud to be an American, but when they put those rainbow colors up on the White House, it's hard for me to be proud to be an American anymore. I still think it's the greatest nation that we have today. But judgment's coming for this nation because of what they've done. When they've heard the word over and over and over again through preachers, through prophets, through tapes, through Bibles, and they'll face it at the day of judgment, and they have no leg to stand on to be able to say, oh, well, we didn't know about it. Oh, yes, you did. This wasn't done in no corner. This has went around and around and around the world. And judgment is going to strike her, and it's not popular, but I don't expect it to be. Jesus' ministry wasn't popular. Brother Branham's message isn't popular. I'm not here trying to win any popularity contests. If I was, I sure wouldn't have preached on this morning, Brother Jeremy. God called you to preach. Preach if you stand alone. Preach anyhow. God spoke to you. Stand out there and preach. It's your God-given right. I'd rather listen to a man like that than have all one that had all the DDs and PhDs behind him. That's what ruined the church today, is we went after class and cults and societies. Them things are all right, but it don't belong in the house of God. God wants a God-sent man anointed from heaven that's heard the story of God and been filled with the Spirit that stands upon the convictions of his heart. Amen. God bless you. If the musicians would come, I haven't even been looking at that clock because I'm scared to, but Inner Veil, 1956. Maybe I need to put this quote on the backboard. It says, we're undenominational, and we do not believe in separating people. We believe in preaching the gospel and getting souls saved to serve the Lord. He says again, God and his people, 1950. God, the Holy Spirit, fell upon men. Man is God's agent, and the hardest thing that God has ever had to do was to get one mortal to believe another. Do you believe that? Amen. That's the hardest thing. It's hard for people to believe, Brother Branham, because they look and they see this. It's hard for people to sit and hear a preacher, because they look at this. But it's God's agents, if it's really, truly the Word of God. Hearing, Receiving, and Acting, 1960. They don't want that Spirit-filled pastor that'll obey the Holy Spirit from the platform. Just preach the word like it is, as John said. Lay the axe to the root of the tree and let the chips fall where it will. Most of the churches today will vote that out of their pulpit. That's right. It'll come as separation always does that. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 20, he said, let every man abide in the calling wherein he was called. Oh, my. I'll skip a few here, but I'll put them up on the website if you want to read them later. But let's read this last scripture. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. That's how I feel this morning. You don't have to give me a brownie button and say, oh, bless God, Brother Nathan, you sure did a good job, and you sure told them. And no, that's not what this is about. That's not what this is about. I don't have anything to glory of. But necessity is laid on me, because if God truly called me to do this and I don't do it, woe is unto me if I don't preach the gospel. That's just not just for the pastor or the preacher or the evangelist or the deacon or the musicians. What about you? What has God called you to do? And if you know that God's called you to do something, woe unto you if you don't do whatever God's called you to do. Follow his leading. Amen. This sermon was not a Church of the Open Door pep rally to give you all something to beat everybody down about. This was so that if they come and beat you over the head, as Brother Layton said, you know where you're standing. So that you're not tossed about to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Amen. God bless you. I hope you understand this morning. Amen. Let's sing this together. We want to say thank you, Jesus, for the grace that you have. I can't repay. From my heart I would like to say that I thank you. Is that how you feel this Thanksgiving weekend? Lord, for all the grace you have given us, though I can't repay, from my heart I would like to say that let's stand and sing it together. Lord, we want to say thank you. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for the truth. Thank you for the grace you have given us. Though I can't repay, from my heart I would like to say that I thank you. Oh Lord, we want to say thank you. Oh, thank you, Lord, for all the grace that you have given us. And though I can't repay, from my heart I would like to say that I thank you. Lord, we want to say thank you. Oh, Jesus, Lord, for all the grace you have given us. And though I can't repay, from my heart I would like to say that I thank you. As they play that softly, let me just say this to you. If people are approaching you and giving you a hard way to go about where you go to church, and I would speak to them kindly. I would tell them a little bit of the word maybe that you've heard. If they don't like that or they want to argue with you, I would just tell them, look, we just have to agree to disagree. God bless you and have a good day. If they want to push it, say, well, I'd be happy to sit down and talk to you about it with my pastor. Or maybe you could go talk to him, or maybe you want to come to me and ask me, you know, what should I do? What should I say in this situation? I'd be happy to sit down and talk to anybody about this. I'm not ashamed of it. It's in the Word. We don't have to get upset about it and get angry about it, and, you know, argue with somebody about it. No. If we do that, then we're wrong in our spirit. It's not about that. It's about this is what the Word says, and I'm going to stand for the Word. Whether it's a quote on homosexuality, a quote on preachers, a quote on serpent seed, I'm going to stand for the Word. I stand for it all. Amen. Oh, let's just sing it again. Although I can't repay, from my heart I would like to say that I thank you. Lord, we want to say thank you. Oh, thank you, Jesus, Lord, for all the grace that you have given us. I can't repay, Lord, from my heart. I'd like to say that I thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we're gathered here this morning, Lord, and we've heard the word. Maybe it's been cutting. Maybe it's been sharp. Maybe it's been to the point, Father. But, Lord, may it encourage hearts. May you settle us, Father, and help us know where we stand. May you give us a foundation of your word to stand on so that we're not tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine and opinion. And well, it's we should go to church now, and then we shouldn't go to church, and we should do this now, and we shouldn't do that now. But Lord, the quotes in the scriptures never change. The opinions of people change, the mood of people change, the atmosphere of people change. People's opinions and people's doctrines can be swayed, but your word never changes. Help us to be found faithful standing for your word, Lord. Oh, it may be unpopular. It may be talked about, it may be criticized, but Lord, we stand with it with everything that we have. Lord, be with this little flock that's here this morning, Lord. Lord, may we encourage one another. May we not be against our brothers and sisters, even if they disagree with us. Lord, those that only play tapes, or those that don't hardly play tapes at all, Lord, help us just to, Lord, not to criticize and run down and push down, but Lord, help us to have an arm out to somebody and say, look, we love you. If you believe this message, you're our brother. We want to stand with you and fight the devil. Lord, if they won't allow us to do that, they want to draw a line and say, well, if you believe this, we're against you, or we can't fellowship with you. That's up to them, Father, but help us to stay right. Help us to stay right in our heart. Help us to stay right in our attitude. Help us to stay right in our spirit, Father. Help us to recognize that it's not our brothers or sisters that would say these things that would maybe be hurtful to some of the people, Father, but it's just a spirit that's on them, that whether they recognize it or not, to be anti-preacher, to be anti-ministry, to be anti-move of the Holy Spirit, it's to be anti-word, because the word speaks of it all. Lord, may you just help them. Lord, may you open their eyes. Lord, they don't have to see me. They don't have to follow me, but help them to follow the word. Lord, help us. Lord, may there not be a quote or a scripture that we would be ashamed of, or that we'd be ashamed to follow, or to give our life for, or to stand. Lord, it's our God-given heritage, this message, these words that you've given to us in your scripture. Help us not to be ashamed, but help us to take up our cross and follow you, Father. We love you, Jesus. Lord, they persecuted you. They made fun of you. Lord, how much more can we expect to be made fun of and persecuted from the outside of the ranks of the message by those that don't believe the message? Oh, because we're following a man, they say. That's right. Amen. I'm going to keep following him because he followed you. I would follow Paul if he was still here, Father. I would follow Moses if I was in Moses' day. I'm proud to be following a man that followed you. Oh, they make fun of us and ridicule us. Some of the people around the message, Lord, and in the message ranks make fun because, oh, you would go hear a preacher, or you would go do this, or you would sit under this ministry or that ministry, or you would have this type of worship service. Oh, Father, God, help us to, Lord, may it just roll off our backs, Father. Help it not to get us down and discouraged, but help us just to recognize it's just a trial that was predestinated for us before the foundation of the world. Just like your prophet said when they talked about his family. You didn't get upset, you didn't rile back, and you didn't criticize and run everybody down. You just said, oh, brother, that's just a trial that was predestinated before the foundation of the world. Help us to have that type of attitude. Help us to have that type of spirit, Father, we pray. Help us, Lord, to love. Help us, Father, to pray for one another. Help us to pray for those that despitefully use us. Help us to pray for those that criticize us. Lord, we know that you did it. Lord, if we can't have that same spirit of Christ, how can we call ourselves Christians? Give us the right attitude, we pray, Father. We thank you for all that you're doing. Lord, may we not be discouraged, but Lord, as we look around and see all that you're doing, may we be encouraged to see you moving among your bride in this little area, Lord. All these little congregations, Lord, scattered out about through this area and around the world, we see your hand moving among them, Father. We see signs and wonders. We see you vindicating your word, Lord. We thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, seeing your word made manifest. How it encourages us. We love you, Jesus. Help us, Lord, to lay aside every weight just to run this race with patience, Father, that you've set before us. Help us to put you first in every decision and all that we do. Be with these as we depart, Father, Lord. Be with each one. Protect each family. Bring us back again together, Lord, Wednesday night for service and fellowship again, Father, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name. For the grace that you have given us, though I can't repay from my heart, I'd like to say that I thank you. Oh, thanks, thanks. say thanks, oh thanks, I give you thanks for all you, all that you're gonna do, Lord. I am so blessed, my soul has found rest, oh Lord, I give you thanks, Lord, we wanna say thanks.
Yeah.
up my cross. Oh, and follow Jesus. Oh, I want to take up my cross, Lord, every day. Oh, help me not to be ashamed, oh, just to say that. And follow Jesus. Lord, we want to take up our cross every day. Oh, and don't be ashamed just to say that you know Him. Oh, count the cost, then take up your cross and follow Him. Let's sing it again together. Lord, help me take up my cross and follow Jesus. Oh, I want to take up my cross each and every day. Oh, and don't be ashamed to say that you know Him. And follow me. Oh, let's sing it again together. Oh, take up your cross. Bless you, dismiss and sing it. Oh, say-